Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a happy Friday to you at 6:11. Eric Bilstad along with Michelle Richards. Vince is back on Monday. Got Debbie on the roads, Adam in the newsroom, and Brandon Snide, my guy, is producing the big show today. Thanks to B for doing double duty. He was working late yesterday, now working early today, so can't stop that guy. Also, you can't stop Tropical Storm Debbie, Michelle.
The storm. Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
The other storm. Not the Debbie Lasga storm. The final chapter of Debbie now, moving north and northeast from the Carolinas at a faster clip now with soaking rains. That's what's so incredible about this is just how much rain is coming down in some of these areas and some of the damage that it could be doing.
D.C., Baltimore, central Pennsylvania, and western New York could see the heaviest rain in the morning before the storm moves east, putting other areas in the line of possible flash flooding.
Yeah, that's ABC's Lionel Moise there. So you can expect that something like that obviously is going to snarl up any travel that people have over the weekend. As for where this has been,
rains are gone, but the flooding, the river flooding will take place.
Yeah, so that's the governor of South Carolina there, Henry McMaster. This storm tore through the Carolinas, causing death, destruction. Now they have the flooding that they're dealing with. It's cresting a lot of the waterways. They also had some tornadoes from this depression, a couple of tornadoes at least. They say at least 12 reported twisters. In North Carolina, Norman Toller said he saw one come down.
Look out the back door, and I dropped down to my knees and went to pray. I said, Lord, you know, I've worked all my life for what I got here. Please don't take it. And it went right in the backyard.
So it is a tropical depression now as it's downgraded, but you know, just wreak havoc over the weekend. Just lots of rain. And we really didn't get any of the effects of this. Usually sometimes we'll get clips of these hurricanes when they turn into depressions and move up. Not this time.
Right. Sometimes we get a drizzle.
Right. 6:14, lots to get to in sports, history made, and also what's the deal with that Packers injury that we were so worried about yesterday? We'll get to it in a minute. 58 degrees at 6:21, Wisconsin's Morning News with Vince Vetrano. I'm Eric Bilstead along with Michelle Richards. So Vince is back on Monday. Hey, congratulations to our Rice Lake guy. You know, everyone's been talking about Noah Lyles coming up short in the 200 meters of the Olympics, but we had a guy from Rice Lake who got the silver.
Did we know about him?
Kung Fu Kenny. Yes, we knew about him, but no one else does. See, no one else wants to talk about Kung Fu Kenny. But anyway, yeah, he took the silver medal up there in Rice Lake, so they're celebrating today. Joining us now live from Paris is ABC's Inez de la Cotera. She's been following everything closely of the Olympics. Inez, so Noah Lyles just couldn't do it. Came up just short of winning both the 100 and the 200.
That's right. So he did win the bronze yesterday, but he was favored to win the gold, and that ended up going to Botswana's Letsela Tobago. That was a huge upset on the track. The silver went to fellow American Kenny Bedarek, but Noah ended up having to settle for bronze. And after the race, he didn't look too well. He was lying down on his back. He was having a hard time breathing. We saw him kind of wheeled away in a wheelchair. And we later found out he had been diagnosed with COVID. So according to the WHO, at least 40 athletes have been diagnosed with COVID so far. But organizers for these games are letting athletes decide for themselves whether they want to continue with their competitions or withdraw if they have COVID. So I guess in Noah's case, he decided to compete anyway. I think it's all the more remarkable that he was able to bronze even with COVID. I will say there are some questions being raised today as to, you know, whether that's appropriate to let athletes compete even with COVID, because what does that mean for the other athletes? The other athletes who were on the track yesterday, some of them were being interviewed, and for the most part, they seemed unbothered by it. But I think that's going to be a storyline to watch. You know, Olympics organizers likely to get more questions about that in the coming days.
Did we have basketball too?
We did. We did. And it was, I mean, what a game. So we have been talking about how amazing Team USA is. You know, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. But Serbia does have Nikola Jokic, who is a three-time MVP. So it was bound to be an interesting game last night. But I don't think anyone expected it for it to be this close. So Team USA was down to Serbia by 17 points in the first half of the game. And they then staged an incredible comeback in the fourth quarter, Team USA scoring 6 points in 2 seconds. And they did beat Serbia in the end, 95-91. We were all in the edge of our seats watching that. And many saying, you know, what made it so cool was that for once you could kind of cheer on all your favorite athletes working together on Team USA as opposed to typically playing opposite each other. So that was really fun. And then they will be playing France in the final on Saturday.
Ooh, that'll be a good one. ABC's Inez de la Cotoria joining us from Paris. All right, Inez. So Sunday, of course, is the closing ceremonies. Do we know much about what that production is going to be like?
We don't. They're keeping it quite, you know, they're keeping the details to themselves. They've been quite secretive about it. So we know it's going to be the same artistic director that organized the opening ceremony. So, of course, parts of the opening ceremony ended up being quite controversial. So I think there are questions as to whether, you know, we'll see some controversial elements again, or on the contrary, maybe he's maybe toned it down now given the backlash. There's speculation that Tom Cruise could be involved and that he could be performing some major stunts. That's right. Because we know part of it is going to involve a handoff to the U.S. and to L.A. 2028, the next Olympics. So I think we'll see some big American names participating. And yeah, there's been all this buzz about Tom Cruise, but that is unconfirmed at this point.
I thought I heard maybe he would be skydiving or something, but I guess we'll just
that,
have
that
to
would be something he would do,
wait
right?
and see. Inez, are you seeing any signs of slowdown in Paris now? Like, is it getting a little less busy, or is it still, you know, crazy nuts with the Olympics?
Yeah. No, it's winding down for sure. I think a lot of tourists have left. I think those that remain are sticking to kind of outside of Paris where the big events are happening. That's where track and field is. That's where all the team sports are taking place. So there's fewer tourists in Paris, you know, in downtown Paris. And yeah, it's starting to feel a lot calmer. They've started dismantling some barricades, some venues. You know, sports are, a lot of the events are winding down. Swimming is over, for instance. Beach volleyball, I think, is winding down today or tomorrow. So it's starting to feel like the beginning of the end. It's a bit of a bummer. I think, you know, they talk about Olympic blues being a real thing for athletes, but I think for those of us who cover it, it'll probably be a thing as well.
Well, I've been doing a bang-up job there, Inez. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Weather looks really nice into the weekend for your Wisconsin State Fair. State Fair Scoop, Debbie Lazica and Adam Roberts. So both of you enjoyed some drinkies. So they have the Sporkies, right? And they also have drinkies, correct? Where you can, like, drink a special concoction of something. Uh-oh, I'm not hearing your mic there. Maybe try this one over here. So what? Let's go with what you liked, Adam. What was one of the drinks that you liked out of the drinky category?
So there's four drinks to choose from, and right off the bat, when we tried the first one, it was the Fairway Fusion, they call it, from Old Fashioned Sipper Club. That was fantastic. Now I like Arnold Palmer. It's one of my favorite drinks of all time. Mix a little iced tea, mix a little lemonade, but they do this up with a little extra mint as well in the beverage, and then you drop a little lime in there. It just hits perfectly on a day like yesterday. Would have been fantastic.
By the way, all the drinkies were non-alcoholic this year.
That was my question. Yeah.
But you can A them up if you want to.
Yes.
All right.
If you wanted to.
All right, Debbie, what do you think?
My favorite actually was the coffee donut float.
The glazed donut coffee float.
Yep. Messy as all get out, though, because you kind of have to. I mean, I wanted to, when I tried it, I tried to bite the donut and then drink the coffee, and it went right down my shirt.
And so, she was wearing one of our white WTMJ shirts, too, so it was just a mess.
So I was representing for the rest of the day. But it was good.
Not too sugary. That one looked a little sugary for my taste.
A little bit, but if you know that it's a float, you know, so it's coffee basically with some ice cream, or was it ice cream or custard? I can't remember. But
sounds really good.
If you think about it that way, it's more of a dessert type of thing. It's not for the mornings necessarily. But
so there's not always the perfect drink for everyone. Exactly. Was there one on your list that didn't pass?
Yeah, we both kind of looked at each other when we had the, as you alluded to earlier, the purple pickle lemonade.
I was so disappointed.
It looks cool. It looks a little bit like when you were in elementary school and did the oil and the water experiment where they both are separated.
On top of each other.
So it looks cool. The taste just wasn't there for me.
Honestly, it would have been fine if they would have used like sweet pickle juice with the lemonade. They used dill pickle with the lemonade, and it was like, darn it. And then there was like, what do they call it? Something peas juice in it that made it purple.
Oh,
there was
some kind of flower.
Yeah,
it was
like
a flower
exactly,
or something.
Yeah.
If it looked very pretty.
Yeah, it was very
like
pretty.
To see Adam and Debbie partake in the drinkies, you can text the word drink to the WTMJ Talk and text line 855-616-1628. It also includes Adam's special State Fair special, which is a combination drink, apparently.
Which I don't recommend if you have any dietary restrictions. Eric, I know this would be just like, get it away.
Text the word drink to see the video, 855-616-1620. Thank you. And just like that, Packers football returns. On Saturday afternoon, Packers-Browns preseason game number one. Joining us in studios, ESPN Milwaukee's Gabe Neitzel, who is counting down the minutes to the return of football.
Yeah, we still, you know, a little over 24 hours, but, you know, get some stuff done in the morning tomorrow and then, you know, kind of ease into the afternoon of the 3:25 kickoff. Yeah.
So I'm a pretty casual Packers fan.
Okay.
Why would I want to watch tomorrow's game?
Okay, so there are a couple of positional battles that are going on, but first you need to know where to watch it because typically these games, typically these games would be on Channel 4 because they're part of the Packers television network. However, because of the Olympics, it is not on Channel 4. So ION Channel 55 is where this thing is going to be aired. If you're somebody like me who has YouTube TV, well, get yourself an antenna, or you can stream Packers.com on desktops only. Can't do it through a tablet. Can't do it through your phone.
So ION isn't on YouTube TV?
ION, I do not believe, is on YouTube TV. At least I have not seen it, although, let's be honest. I don't really watch ION. I don't know what's on ION. I'm not searching out ION on YouTube TV. I know I've got the antenna hooked up to my television, so I know I can find Channel 55 there. But to answer your question of why you should watch tomorrow's game, I would start first and foremost with the kicking competition going on between Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph. They're tightly locked into a kicking battle right now. Initially, when they brought in a second kicker, I thought this was going to be just a token competition. From all accounts up in Green Bay, it is not. Whoever wins this is going to be the Packers kicker. And we know, again, game or two, you know, you have that kicker that you can rely upon, can make a big difference throughout the course of a season. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is kind of seeing how snaps divvy out for some of the wide receivers. And that can be kind of tough to monitor because starters aren't expected to play that much for the Packers. But it's more about, okay, who is going to be out there? Not necessarily how they play in this game, but who do they trust right now? Because Dontavian Wicks, somebody who I was very high on, was getting very high praise from the coaching staff last year. During the team periods of family night last week, he was a distant fourth behind Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson and Jaden Reed. So they have a talented wide receiving core. It's very deep, but you can only have so many guys on the field at a single time. So kind of expect, knowing what to expect, kind of keeping an eye on that.
Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee 94.5 joins us in studio. So one thing that you will notice when you watch the game tomorrow, too, that'll be very different than years past, the kickoffs will be slightly tweaked.
Yeah, so they called it the XFL kickoff rule, which the XFL league, which was the UFL, didn't even use this year, which is interesting. But the kicker's going to be standing by himself, kicking it into the kicking zone, has to kick it between the 20-yard line and the goal line. And then, you know, I believe by the 25 and the 30 is where all the blocking and is going to be happening. So the kickoff coverage unit can be at the 30, kickoff unit is at the 25, try to block thereafter, and they can't move until the ball is touched. So the NFL's been trying to figure this out. Coaching staffs, there are a lot of articles out there that think this is going to be a bleep show.
I hope so. I kind of want it to be.
So, I mean, they're trying to get the kickoff back into the game. Yeah. They're hoping that this ultimately ultimately ends up being the way to do it, because previously, I mean, most of the balls were just getting kicked out of the end zone, and it was a good time to get up and go to the bathroom, get yourself another beverage, what have you. So they want the kickoff to mean something, and the Packers certainly want it to mean something too, because Keyshawn Nixon's been a really good kickoff returner. Don't know how that really affects him and his role. Clearly, he's going to be a big part of their defense as their nickelback, but he's been all-pro kickoff returner the last 2 years, and that's been a big part of setting up their offense for success.
ESPN Milwaukee's Gabe Neitzel. Football returns. We won't have a weekend without football until after the Super Bowl in February.
Crazy to think about. Absolutely crazy to think about.
And there's a lot of people now like, oh, are you kidding me?
And there's a lot of people going, yes!
Yes! Thank you, Gabe.
Yeah, anytime.